Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Do not be envious about the workers of iniquity, but you ask the Lord and He will grant you the desires of your hearts. Made us to understand that even if the unbelievers are prosperous, you don't have to be envious about them. And being in the household of faith, there are principles that God actually put in place to cause you to prosper. When it comes to financial matters, there are avenues that God has put in place that we need to explore. As far as the kingdom principles are concerned, you know, when Jesus spoke to Pilate and said, "My kingdom is not of this world," people never understood what he was saying. He was saying, "My economic policy is not from this world. My warfare strategy is not from this world. Everything I do is different from this world." What that means is, the Roman Empire, for instance, they took their principles. Anytime a nation conquered another nation, they take some of their principles to build up their new policies. So like Babylon, you know, Medo-Persia, you know, conquered that, and they took some of those things, and they come to Greece and they took some of those things, and the Greeks conquered Rome, and then they took some of, Rome conquered Greece and they took some of those things. And so Jesus was saying, Pilate, listen to me, I am not taking any policy from any of those existing kingdoms before now. This is a new kingdom. And then there are policy, there are principles by which this kingdom operates. That's what he means by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. That's not to say the kingdom is not here. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Right. So, Jesus has his own spiritual and what I call financial policies by which you operate. You can operate and become who you are supposed to be. One thing is certain, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper. You have to understand that. No two ways about that. You must understand that the Bible made us to understand that the wisdom of the poor is not even accepted in the midst of his people. God wants you to be prosperous. No two ways about that. Amen. You know, sometimes the Bible says, well, Jesus was poor that we became rich. No. He wasn't poor financially. He was poor meaning he left the glory that he has as God and became a human being. He was lowered. Not that he was poor financially. Because if you take time to study, we know in the book of Luke, the Bible tells, think about that. Somebody that takes about 12 apostles with him, traveling the whole places. You understand what I mean? Right. And they were not going to farm. They were not going to anything. And guess what? We do know that they had children, because the scripture tells us precisely that Peter's mother-in-law was sick at the time. That means he was married. And now, Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, he said, if a man cannot provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. So Jesus couldn't have called the 12 disciples to make them poor, that they can't take care of their people. That means make them unbelievers. You understand what I'm saying? So the people were rich. And that is why you discover that even we may not understand Judas was in charge of the treasury. If there was no money, what was he keeping? Amen. Hallelujah. God didn't call you to make you poor. I want you to understand that. But he calls you to make you rich by operating certain principles. And that's the key thing. Amen. Hallelujah. If you watch the dress that Jesus wore, for instance, the dress that he wore, from top to bottom was woven, and that was one of the most expensive materials in his days. No seam. In other words, tailor didn't join it. It was all woven from top to bottom. One of the most expensive materials. He rode on a donkey that nobody have ever used. That means a brand new car. Hallelujah. Come on, is anybody following what I'm talking about? The donkey he rode was a brand new one, Tierra. Huh? Nobody have ever used it. Hallelujah. So don't tell me Jesus was a poor man. No, you don't understand what you use the language. You became poor that you may become rich. He's not talking about poverty in terms of, no. He lowered him standard. He came down from being God. That's what it means. But in terms of material things, Jesus was solid. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. So there are principles he put in place that you're supposed to operate with. And several is part of what we're dealing with. Now, people contest the issue of tithes. People contest the issue of offerings, whatever the case may be. Fine. No problem about that. But I'm saying these are principles that are in the household of faith that God said you must operate to become who you are supposed to be. Amen? All right. So, I'm going to deal with one specific principle today. And subsequently, I'm going to be picking one or two things to talk to you about. Because you need to grow up. You need to be solid. You need to come to the place where, yes, you know, money is not controlling you, but you're controlling money. You know, money can control you. Right. When you can't make the right decision because the money in your hand is too small. Like we're talking about offering this morning. You know, when it controls you. When you begin to look at your wallet and say, well, maybe you have very little. And so you're, you know, squeezing out change for biscuits for an offering. It's controlling you. You understand what I mean? But I'm saying you must come to the place, God helping us, that money doesn't control you, but you control money. Hallelujah. And realizing also that the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, it is God that giveth the power to do what? To get wealth. He gave you power to get wealth. Power speaks of wisdom, knowledge, skills, talent, all of those things. So it means that when you've come to that place where you are actually making use of the talent and the grace and the skills that God has given to you, you are supposed to be wealthy. You see what I mean? Yeah. So in your being wealthy, the next thing is you have to acknowledge the God that gave you the power to do what? To get wealth. Praise the living God. That's the importance of what I'm trying to make you see this morning. So this morning I'm sharing with you the benefit of the ox sender. All right, so let's start reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm reading from verse number 7. I know you will like this. I know you will like this. You have to like it. Amen? Right. 1 Corinthians 9 verse number 7. Who goeth to warfare at any time on his own charges? In other words, can the military of a nation move out and they are not paid? No. The soldiers, the navy, they are all paid by the federal government, right? Hallelujah. Who planted a vineyard and eaten not of the fruit thereof? The answer is no one. You don't plant crops and you don't harvest your crops. That's why I was saying last week that God expects you to have hope for every seed you sow. It's not out of place. When you plant crops, you harvest. You have to have hope for the crops that are coming after you've planted your seed. Then he said, "Oh, who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the meat of the flock?" Oh, come on. That's another dangerous question. You understand that? You take care of flocks, maybe your goat, your sheep, and all that. You get the meat from there. You're not going to have sheep or goats and then you go out somewhere else to go and get meat for yourself. No. It's not done anywhere. Hallelujah. Verse 8, Paul is asking a question. Say I these things as a man, or said not the law the same also? Hallelujah. Amen. Am I saying this thing of my own self, or the Lord didn't say that? I tried to make someone understand just yesterday. I put something on Facebook. You see, we don't understand, for instance, in Galatians 1, Paul said, by the time God revealed his son to him, he confirmed all with flesh and blood. But he went to the Arabian desert for 3 years. What was he doing there? He didn't go to Apostle Peter. He didn't go to any of those people. 3 years he went to Arabia desert. He went back to look into the law, to help God to teach him how to really apply the law and not to apply it in killing people as they were doing as the Pharisees. He went to learn what the law stood for. And people say, oh, we are not under law. We are not whatever. No. The whole Bible is holistic. It's one book. Here is Paul quoting the law. Hallelujah. You say, well, we have to follow the epistles of Paul. Now, here is the epistle of Paul. Praise God. This is Paul talking. Now, what did he say? Look at verse 9. For it's written in the law of Moses. Now, you want to discuss Moses, but Paul is alluding to Moses to prove the point that he's raising. So, something is wrong with your theology. Amen? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take out a fox in? That's the question. Or say it, verse number 10. Or say it altogether for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who ploweth should plow in hope, and he that treacheth in hope should be partakers of what? Of his hope. Hallelujah. Now, he quoted from Deuteronomy 25, verse number 4, that shall not muzzle the ox. And he's saying, is it talking of animals or is it talking of we, the apostles? When he's writing about that, he's saying, when God said in Deuteronomy 25, verse number 4, muzzle not the ox that treaded out the corn, was he dealing with animals? And he said, no. He says, for our sakes. Don't see now. You begin to see how the law applies to the reality of what he was teaching. Amen. You know, people don't understand how the law operates. They can't read it and understand it. You know, and so I told you here before, why do you think God said, don't eat animals that chew not the cord? Have I told you that before? Animals that chew the cord. Right? You can take that. Animals that do not chew the cord, don't eat that. You know what it means for animals to chew cord? Like the goat. We feed the goat, we feed the cow. In the night, they bring back all that they took in and masticate them all over. That's chewing the cord. So what he's saying is, you got to be meditating on the word of God. Animals that doesn't chew cord are people who don't meditate on God's word. You see that? People don't know how to apply the scriptures. That's why they say, no, we don't have anything to do with the Old Testament. No. Amen. So, animals that chew the cord have to apply to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is he that meditate upon the word of God day and night. Shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. How many of you remember what I'm saying? That's the man that meditate. That's how to chew the cord. So here Paul is saying, don't muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. And he's dealing with us ministers. Don't allow them to suffer. Hallelujah. Don't give them sorrow and pains in their hearts. God said that the animals that this oxen that treaded out the corn. What's the corn? The word of God. What is coming to you from the altar, from the pulpit, is the corn. Don't muzzle the animal, the ox that treaded out the corn. The minister here is the ox. Amen. Look at verse 6. Galatians 6, verse number 6. Hallelujah. Let him that is taught in the world communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Hallelujah. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his own flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary well doing, for in due season we shall reap. Amen. If we faint not. To sow here means transacting the consign of our natural life. To reap signifies the joy or the punishment that you receive for not doing certain things. Amen. And largely also is dealing with, so into the flesh is dealing with, continue with Judaism in what, as opposed to Christianity. Is that all right? You remember, Paul wrote to the Galatian church, I said, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Have you begun in the spirit and you're ending in the flesh? You understand that? Hallelujah. Are we here? So we're talking about you receiving the gospel and you committing to the gospel, especially to the people that are trading out the corn. So when he say here God is not mocking, he's actually dealing with you on how you deal with the one that is giving the corn. Hallelujah. By implication, go back a bit. Look at it again. Galatians 6 now. Look at it again. Look at verse number 6. Look at that. Do we start from verse number 4? Verse number 6 is fine. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Him that is taught in the word communicate. Can we take this for another translation? Just this verse. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him. Hallelujah. Don't be misled. You cannot mock. No, what verse? Verse 6, I said. Verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. So simple. Hallelujah. Then the next thing, verse number 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You always harvest what you plant. By implication, if you're planting seeds in the life of your teacher, you're going to harvest good crops. I don't know if you're following that. Follow the argument of Paul, and that's exactly what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Some of us don't know how to touch the heart of God. So many of us don't understand how to bring God closer with even our seeds. God is not mocked. That means God is concerned about how you minister to the ox or your teacher, or how you don't. He's concerned about that. Why? Because he called them by himself. He won't call them to punish them. Hallelujah. You know, that's why it's a difficult thing to go into full-time ministry. I once asked somebody who was saying something, and I said, I got a job that I was doing, pensionable job, right? But the Lord said, you come in and do this job. Now, I'm not sure God intended to punish me by taking me away from the job I was doing that's pensionable to come and suffer. Where is the justice of God? That's what he's saying. Where is God's justice in that situation? So, answering the call is not punishment, but try that to be an elevation. In fact, he should do more for me than when I was in the world doing the secular job. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. You know, I just got stirred to share on this thing. You know, I don't talk about money in this house. I don't talk about money. But I got this stirring yesterday to discuss it with you. Because one of the things is this. Once you don't hear certain things, you can act on it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The gospel is holistic. It has to be taught all around in every aspect. Amen? So God is saying, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Praise the living God. All right. So you just need to get this right, people. And what a man swear that he has to reap. It's so simple. People will tell you, well, you're trying to teach. If you teach it that way, you are trying to teach karma, whatever. No. What he's saying here is very simple. You plant crops, you will harvest the crops you planted. If you plant cassava, you can go and harvest corn. They are not the same thing. You harvest what you plant. Hallelujah. So if you're sowing financially to the teacher, to the sender, God will make sure there is an abundance of harvest for you. Hallelujah. send out all my messages, you know. My website is free. People go to download. Got somebody a few days ago talk to me. I'm in the website. I'm picking a lot of messages and so on and so forth. Other people sell their stuff. I don't sell. Now, you don't expect me to tell you. You know. You should know that if you are feeding from that as a resource, you ought to minister to the sender, I mean to the teacher, who's producing those things. And God will reward you. Don't expect me to tell you, oh, because I'm sending a message to you, therefore you must give me money. You don't expect me to tell you that. People do that anyway. They tell you, donate, donate, I'm teaching, and all that. I don't tell you to donate. You should know. Hallelujah. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Very important. I got one of two, three people that are actually, they minister to me because of the messages that they are receiving. Right? The other time when I was not too fine, and one of them, for 2 days, I've not gotten any message or so. And he said, what is going on? And I said, well, I'm down. I've not been in service. He said, oh, that cannot happen. Let me have your account. And he sent me 200,000. He's ministering because of the word. And guess what? That man will definitely reap what he has sown. Do you understand what I mean? That's what God is saying here. God is not going to be mocked. And you don't have any excuse. It's as simple as that. If you want to come out of the situation you are, you must find channels by which you sow. It's so important. It is God that giveth the sower seed and bread to the eater. Two things there. 2 Corinthians 8. Is that okay? Right. There is seed for the sower and bread to the eater. Now, if you take your seed and you eat it up as bread, you have no harvest. Same thing goes to the offering we're talking about. Hallelujah. Go with me to Isaiah 32, verse number 20. King James here. Glory to God. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass, that send forth. What does the ox do? It treaded out the corn. Hallelujah. Okay, just drop to Amplified Translation, same passage, Isaiah 32, verse 20. I got a sister in the U.S. who is always, and a very good brother. They always minister. They listen to the message. They just call me back. Hey, amen. I'm blessed with this. I'm touched with this. And the next thing, I see something get into my account. Beautiful people. They know what it is to minister to the ox that is treading out the corn. Don't starve them. Because that's where your reward also comes from. For God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, thou shalt also reap. If the teacher has communicated to you spiritual things, is this such a big thing that he cannot reap carnal things from you? And what does that mean? Your finances is nothing but carnal. Praise God. Look at that. Happy and fortunate are you who cast your seed upon all waters when the river overflows its bank. For the seed will sink into the mud, and when the waters subside, the plant will spring up, and you find it after many days and reap an abundant harvest. You will safely send forth the ox and the donkey to range freely. Glory to God. You know what he's saying here? In Palestine, how many of you know to carry that way? There used to be a place where I used to plant rice. You remember that? All right, so what happened? When the water is down, you just sprinkle your seed. You just drop them there. Amen? The water comes in, and when the water goes up, you begin to see the rice come up. So what he's trying to say is this. You don't know when or how your seed will grow. So keep sowing. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Keep sowing. Keep planting. Say, blessed and fortunate are those who sow beside still waters. For when you cast your seed, when the water ebbs out there, your seed grows. I got to get harvest. You can tell the seed you sow how they are going to bring back harvest unto you. You don't determine the kind of seed you sow or where to sow. Of course, you must determine where to sow and the kind of seed you sow. But what I'm saying is this. The Lord wants you to be free when it comes to seed sowing. And like I said there, when you sow towards sending forth the ox, that's the main thing. The purpose of this scripture here is for you to be able to have the ability to send forward the ox that will tread out a corn. And Paul said, don't you ever muzzle. What did that mean? Shut the mouth, tie up the mouth of the ox that is treading out the corn. In other words, don't allow the minister, watch you grow financially and himself continues to go down in penury. I don't know if you're getting that. Good. He is treading out the ox, feed the ox for him to have more strength to keep on treading the corn. It's a simple biblical principle. Hallelujah. Why do you think people like Chusa's wife, right? They were ministering to Jesus. The Bible made us understand that there were certain women that were ministering to Jesus. Chusa's wife was in Herod's palace, right? Even from the camp of the enemy, money was coming from there to Jesus Christ. They saw something in the life of Jesus and they can't hold back. The man was walking in Herod's palace. Remember, it was Herod that wanted to kill him. All of those people. Amen. But here was the wife, Susanna, Chusa's wife, that will bring the money from the palace and give it to Jesus Christ. She saw something that other people were not seeing. Hallelujah. Take this from the Message translation, Isaiah 32 verse 20. Isaiah 32 verse 20. But you will enjoy a blessed life, planting well-watered fields and gardens with your farm, animals grazing freely. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 32:20. Did you get it? Okay, 32:20. All right. You enjoy a blessed life. Another translation, maybe your words, no, it's not updated, but it's longer for me here. You will enjoy a blessed life planting well-watered fields and gardens with your farm animals grazing freely. Hallelujah. This is the sending forth of the messengers of God to the nation. And that is where the place of partnership comes in. The place of partnership. Like you find in Philippians chapter 4. Paul will say, oh, come on, in all my journeys, no church communicated to me, unlike you, that you opened a debit and a credit account in my name. And you were ministering to me. Therefore, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. I've always told people, Philippians 4 verse 9 is not something you print on stickers and put it by your door. Philippians 4 9 is a prayer for people that have a partner with. They are partnered with somebody. They are the only people that can pick that scripture and make use of it. Otherwise, you become a 419. You claim it what is not yours. You understand what I mean? So, Philippians 4 verse 19 is meant for partners. It's not meant for everybody. Paul was praying a prayer to those who are partnered with him. So the question is, who is your partner? do you partner with? If you have no one partnering with anybody, you can't lay claim to Philippians 4 verse 19. It doesn't work that way. That's why God talks about justice. His justice is real. He knows what you do. He knows what you can do. Praise the living God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Amen. Isaiah 30 verse 19. Go open to Isaiah 30 verse 19. King James. Isaiah 30 verse 19, King James. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. Can I hear an amen? For I will be very gracious unto thee. At the voice of the cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and water of affliction, you shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. I want you to follow this. This is when maybe they are taken into captivity, they are taken into bondage. But look at what he said here. He said, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, punishment in quote, and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But I shall see what? The teachers. Hallelujah. Come on, is anybody getting this? Your teacher shall not be taken away from you. So, one of the ways by which you can be punished is for God not to give you teachers and teach you to know what to do to become prosperous. Your teachers will not. God give you teachers so that you don't get into affliction. God give you teachers to get you out of bondage. Many, when they were in the process of affliction, God kept the teacher aside. But here he's saying, no, your teachers are no longer be at a corner. You're going to see your teachers. Hallelujah. Remember what he said in Jeremiah. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. Men that shall feed you with knowledge and wisdom. And that's how you become prosperous. When you have the right knowledge, know what to do. And where is it coming from? From the teacher. And since it's coming from the teacher, the word now says, muzzle not the ox that treaded out the corn. And Paul will ask the question, does he say that for oxen or for our own sake? For our sake, he said that. Praise God. Verse 21. And the eye shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left hand. Hallelujah. It's because of by reason of the teachers giving instruction, that you will not miss your way in life. You should hear a word behind you saying, don't go this way, don't go that way, did go this way. Why? Because you've been taught. That's why you don't play with your teachers. They are like compass for you. They give you direction. That's why you should listen to the teachers that God has placed before you. Because they will lead you to the right place, hopping with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Ye shall defile all those of the covering of the graven images of silver and the ornament of the molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as menstrual clothes. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. In other words, your trust will not be on material things. Your trust will not be in any other source outside of God. Those molten images, all of those images you put together that you have your confidence in. When the teacher begins to teach you, understanding begins to come to you, light begins to be ministered to you, you lay them aside. You begin to see more clearly how to walk in life. Praise the living God. Are we still here? Look at that, verse 23. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, saith, thou shalt sow the ground wither, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. Hallelujah. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Was taking instruction from the teacher. Rain will come in the seed as you are ministering to it, to the teacher. You say, rain will come into that seed. Did you get it now? That's where your harvest is coming from. As you are ministering to the teacher, as you are ministering to the ox, rain will come on thy seed, and there without abundance, plenteous. The Bible says, in that day, the cattle shall feed in large pastures. That is to say, increase in your business, expansion in whatever thing you are doing. Are you getting that? Because your seed is not receiving rain. Where's the seed? Seed you sow into the life of your teacher. God will bring rain to that seed. You're going to get harvest. Enlargement comes in. Your business expounds. Listen to me. You can literally rebuke the devil over your business by doing what I'm saying. Literally, you can. Because the seed you sow into the life of that man, God is going to want it. The devil has no access to it. And it comes back to you in form of increase and enlargement. So one of the ways you can enlarge your business is to learn how to sow. I showed you the other day, here was somebody, close person I know. He had only 1 million in his account. And he called the wife and I said, this is the beginning of the year. We need some increase in our finances this year. This is the only money we have right now. I want to sow it. And the wife was saying, but the guy said, don't worry about that. We are going to reap. 3 months down the line, the guy was telling me, he's gotten close to 4 million. He sold 1 million. He's getting close to 4 million. I mean, if anybody tells you that there is no sowing and reaping in the kingdom, he's a deceiver. Practically a deceiver. I know how it works for me. I told you the other time, I was driving out one day with my children. I got to the house and the Lord said, take your money. Go and sow into the life of that minister. I had about 10,000 that day. All that I had was about 10,000. So I went in and I took 5,000 and I enveloped it. As I was stepping out of the gate, the Lord said, no, go back. Take all of the money. I went back, collected all of the money, and I drove to Dominion. I don't have any relationship with him, but God said, go and throw the money there. The only 10,000 that was in my hand, I took it there. I know what God did. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? See, these are principles God has put in place for you to expound. But man, we tell you, no. Are you giving it to God? You're giving it to the pastor. And so what? The pastor is straightening out the corn. Praise God. Look at verse 24. The oxen likewise and the young ass that are ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which shall be winnowed with a shovel and with the fan. Verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. What is he talking about here? When towers fall, talking about the Assyrians, your enemies will brought down. I'm talking of the benefit of the oxen there. Your enemies were brought down. That's what I mean by when the towers fall. Sennacherib or Babylon, enemies of God's people, when the towers fall. Why? Because now they send it forth the ox, and they are not in any way gagging the mouth of the ox not to eat of the corn. And so he brings your enemy down. So your business not only expound, you also deal with your enemies. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. How glory. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bringeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of the wounds. The light of the moon. The moon is very pale. It takes a reflection from the sun. It's pale. It's not bright. But God said, there comes a time when the light of the moon shall be like the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold in intensity. That is for you. Glory to God. Why? Because you're following a principle. What's the principle? Not muzzling the mouth of the ox that treaded out the corn. The benefit of being a sender. Hallelujah. Are we still here? It's very important that we get this. So, like we read before, look at this. In the book of, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that shall not muzzle the mouth of the oil, tread out the corn, right? 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 18 again. Just 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18. For the scripture said, okay, let me take it up a little bit for you to get something. Go with me to verse 12. No, sorry. Look at verse 13. 13, then we'll take it to verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Do you not know it? Take it from a simpler translation. Just verse 13. Hallelujah. Do you not know that those men who are employed in the services of the temple get their food from the temple? Or that those who tend the altar share with the altar in the offerings brought? Do you not know it? Praise the living God. Who is talking here? Apostle Paul, right? At least if you want to respect any apostle in the Bible, you should respect Apostle Paul. Look at verse 18 now. Verse 18. Hallelujah. What is my reward then? Verily that. Is that what I mean? Praise the Lord. Now what I intend to share with you again, but Paul is trying to say this. What's my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. They don't understand it. He's saying, the minister feed from the gospel, but I'm not enforcing it so that I don't abuse my power. So, right here in this local assembly, I don't tell you. You know, you just said it this morning. I hardly talk about money. And that is to say, I don't want to force you into doing what you don't feel like doing. But at the same time, not making you know is shutting you down from what you are supposed to get. Do you understand this? Praise the Lord. Look with me, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Is it simple? Okay, take it from the Message translation. Hallelujah. Message translation. Give a bonus to leaders who do a good job. Am I doing a good job? Praise God. So I need some bonus, isn't it? Give a bonus. They are, you know what bonus means? Bonus means extra, isn't it? This is your salary. Bonus means extra, increase. Give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Give a bonus to them. My expense is a bonus from you. Hallelujah. This is so simple. Look at verse number 18. Scripture tells us, don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves what? His pay. Every worker deserves his pay. Scripture tells us, don't do it. And now, it's referencing 1 Corinthians 9 again. Remember, he was writing this to Timothy, for Timothy to commit to other people. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Don't. Scripture tells us, don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. Where is it going to be paid from? I mean, what I look unto heaven, look unto God. Oh, come on. You don't understand. God will use people to do whatever they are supposed to do. Don't tell me, I have to look unto God. No. I'm working. And wherever I'm working in or at, that is where I'm supposed to get my salary from. I don't have to look unto God. No. Somebody said, but yes, in my looking unto God, it has to be you. Let's not pretend about this. No, Scripture tells us, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measures, praise and shaking together, shall God cause men to give to your bosom. So it is men that he uses. Has anybody seen Naira floating from the sky one day? But it's in your pocket. He uses men. Hallelujah. Let me round this up for you. Have you gotten anything so far? Isaiah 30 verse 19 from the Message translation. This is morally like a prayer for you. Isaiah 30 verse 19. Oh yes, people of Zion, citizens of Jerusalem, your time of tears is over. Can I hear an amen? Cry for help and you'll find his grace and more grace. The moment he hears, he will answer. Now you are walking in the counsel that he has given. And there's an action that follows. Just as the master kept you alive during the hard times, I like this. No matter what time we are now, God is going to keep you alive. Just like, look at that again. Oh, it's powerful. As the master kept you alive during hard times, he will keep your teacher alive and present among you. Glory to God. God keeping you alive is also going to keep your teacher alive, because you need your teacher to navigate even the times and the season that you are. You see how important the teacher is in the hands of God for his people? It's preserving you alive and preserving your teacher, because through the teacher, it gives instruction to navigate the hard time and the dry seasons that you find yourself. Hallelujah. You keep your teacher alive and present among you, not far from you. Your teacher will be right there, local, on the job, exactly what we're doing here. Right on the spots. Your teacher will be alive, present with you, local on the job. Amen. Praise the living God. Verse 21. Urging you on, whenever you wander left or right. This is the right road. Walk down this road. That's what the teacher does. Amen. He'll be urging you on. This hard time, God is keeping you alive. He's keeping your teacher alive. Right on the job, in the local setting, urging you on. Walk on this road. Not that, not the other one. Take this one. The teacher knows the road that you can walk in. Praise the living God. That's why you don't muzzle the teachers. You don't shut them out. That's why you sow into their lives. And God gives rain to your seeds. Hallelujah. You know, I'm struggling to teach you this thing right now. You know, I'm struggling to teach you this. Hallelujah. Because it's not always me to talk like this. But this thing came up yesterday. And I have to let you have it. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. You will scrap your expensive and fashionable gold images. You will throw them in the trash. So much garbage, saying good riddance. God will provide rain for the seeds you sow. Can I hear an amen? 23. God will provide rain for the seeds you sow. God will provide rain for the seeds you sow. Bible says God is not unmindful to forget your labor of love, which you do show. You provide rain. Expect rain to fall on your seed. No matter how small it is, expect rain to fall on your seed. Sow with hope of reaping, friends. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. There was a guy in the U.S. I read my early times in ministry. He had a cotton farm. And he was a good tither. You know, because we don't pay tithe, that's law, no problem. But tithe, Abraham tithe under grace, because Genesis is not under law. Genesis is a book of beginning. Abraham practiced tithing before the law was given for around 30 years along the line. So don't you tell me that tithing is under law. No. It's a principle that Moses brought in to help the children of Israel. But before then, Abraham have already practiced it in Genesis 14. And guess what? Abraham is not a Jew. Abraham is a Hebrew. The Jews are from the tribe of Judah. Abraham's grandchild, if you will. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Judah is a son to Jacob. Jacob's son to Isaac. Isaac's son to Abraham. So the great-grandchild, that's Judah. Abraham is not a Jew. He's a Hebrew man. And he practiced tithing long before the Jews came into being. And it was done under grace. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So this man was practicing tithing, and then he had a cotton field. And guess what? He got there. The cuttings were not doing well. The weevils were almost, coming onto them. So he went back home and took his tithe booklet. He got a tithe booklet that he prepared for himself. If he pays the tithe, his stop is there. He took the tithe booklet, went into the center of the garden, of the farm, the cutting farm, lifted it up, and he said, God, this is what you said. You rebuke the devourer. This is a simple thing to show you I am faithful in my tithing. You do your job. He did that and he left. The next day he came to the farm. everywhere up. Cotton bulbs were all open up just the next day. What did he say? I will provide rain for your seed and will rebuke the devourer. He will. Listen, every word of God you believe works. If you don't believe it, yes, it's not going to work. But if you believe it, it will work. God will provide rain for your seed sow. The grain that grows will be abundant. Your cattle will range far and wide. You know what he's saying? Your business will go on the increase. Expansion is coming to your business. You're not going to be limited. Your business isn't going to be one place. They're going to be expansion. Getting up branches, different settings. Hallelujah. The grains that grows will be abundant. Your cattle will reign far and wide. Oblivious to war and earthquake. Verse 24. The oxen and donkeys you use for hauling and plying will be fed well. Praise the living God. Did you get that? Remember, dealing with the benefit of the oxen there. In fact, even if there are hard times, your ox will still travel because there's a good supply. You won't mind what is going on because rain is going to fall on your seed. Abundance is coming. Harvest is coming. Your ox can travel. Hallelujah. Listen, you must believe God to the point of having cool money. And you ask me, when next are you traveling? I want to pay your ticket. Do you understand that? Can I buy, you just come and say, can I buy your next ticket? That's the way it should be. When next are you traveling? Can I buy your next ticket? I remember one of my friends at the Borgo Coin in those days. This guy had never traveled out of this country. So one of his members came to him, say, sir, we've been in this church for this number of years. You have never traveled. Yeah, it's 300,000. Please find anywhere to travel to. Oh my God, praise the living God. And the guy, he made some mistake because he doesn't know, he hasn't really traveled. Because somebody says an agent to work his passport, I mean visa for him to go to Kenya, and the guy ate up all the money. He couldn't get a visa. I told him, why do you need? He said, I'm sorry, my brother. I didn't know. I should have met with you. I said, you just travel to Kenya, right there at the airport. You pick your 50 naira ticket, I mean a visa, and you enter. It's visa on the spot. You don't need to spend. 300,000 went up. And so, what did he do? He said, but since they said I must travel, I'm going to go to Ghana. No, so he decided to, he couldn't even go to Ghana. He went to, I think, Togo. He now went to Togo. Just got to Lagos, traveled to Togo. At least he has traveled. And then on his way back, before he was kidnapped. Oh God. And he was in the forest for about 3 days. And then the wife called the wife and everybody. And he bailed himself with 1 million. Out on a road. Funny enough, you understand that? I mean, what am I trying to make you understand? There are people that came to him and said, you got need to travel. You can keep on staying here. You are one of the oxes. You need to range far. Your range should be far. You understand that? How many of you are believing God for that? Praise God, somebody. Amen. Whew. So y'all, look at that. Oblivious, not mining, the war, an earthquake. The ox and the donkey you use for hauling and plying will be fed well. Hallelujah. Look at the next thing, verse 25. Near running brooks that flow freely from mountains upward and hills. Don't be moving. Look at the next thing. Better yet, on the day God heals his people of the wounds and bruises from the time of punishment, moonlight will flare into sunlight. And sunlight like a whole week of sunshine. At once, We flood the land. Hallelujah. I wish you can get what I'm sharing with you. This is when you're sending for the hawks. How many of you want to become senders in this house? Hallelujah. It's a simple principle that opens doors for you. The moon will be like the sun. The sun will be like a whole week's sunshine. Good things coming your way. Just because you're committed to becoming a partner and a sender. There's so much benefit in being a sender of the ox. Most of all, the ox that traded out the corn. And I like this. And he said, better yet, on the day God heals his people of the wounds and bruises, you're going to get your healing. I say, you're going to get your healing. No matter what happens, you're getting your healing. If God is saying, take care of the teacher, take care of the ox, and then I heal you, then see how connected that is. Your healing is going to take place. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. Man, this is so much. I feel like stopping here today. But there's so much benefit in being the ox sender. You get your healing. Your ox is well fed. The range goes on wider. Your business gets an expansion. Hallelujah. The sun comes on you. The rain comes on your seed. Your harvest is expanding. Why? Because you are a sender. I mean, God has a way of saying, this is the way I want you to go. And he said, it gives you the teacher that will direct you on which way to go. And you follow this simple instruction, you come to the place of abundance. Hallelujah. You know, our beloved brother passed into glory. Remember, Captain Bob. When he came to the ministry, there was nothing. Those of us were there, you know, it was difficult even to pay his rent. I know how much I tried, help, pay rent, even children's school fees, even baby food. And then he comes to me one day in the office, say, I need you to pray for me. Anytime I'm about to hit a business, I remember the last business he wanted to do in Lagos, I gave him transport to go. Anytime I want to hit the business, he said he would have a dream. And once he had a dream, a woman visit him, and then the business will not go through. I just kneeled down there, lay hands on him. He went to the floor. He got up and he left. Next day, he came back. I asked him to come. He came. And the Lord told me, tell him to start his business. And then he came to me and I said, the Lord says you start your business. He said, but how can I start it? I don't have any money. I have nothing. I said, I don't know how you're going to start it. But the Lord said, go and start your business. I laid hands on him. He left. He went out. I remember I met with the wife. Told the wife, this is what pastor just told me. So what do we do? I remember the wife brought two of her wrappers, sold them. And then he went and got some loan. And then he registered him a freak. That was the beginning of the guy's explosion. One word from God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know who he was. One word from God. He could listen to the teacher. The teacher would say, go this way. He went exactly the way the teacher said. And that was the expansion and the explosion of God in terms of business. Listen to me. If God places horses before you, if God places teachers before you, pay close attention to what they say. The thing you struggle for, in split seconds, you can get them right just because you are paying attention to what the teacher says. That's why it says, even in times of hard times, difficult times, he will not allow your teachers to be at the corner. It's going to be by you doing the job local. In other words, it's not going to leave you. He will not allow him to leave you. You keep on keeping him to teach you, to instruct you, that you may come out of dry season, out of hard time, out of difficult times, and rain will begin to fall upon your land. Praise the living God. Don't play with the teacher. Don't joke with the teacher. Hallelujah. You know when he said, maybe I will share that with you. When he talk about cacaon caterpillars in the book of Joel and say rain will fall. He's talking of teachers will come and teach you. Good teachers will come and teach you. And that is why I discovered that when Elijah caused the rain not to fall. 3.5 years. How many of you remember that? It was symbolic of Jesus' ministry for 3.5 years, teaching the people of Israel. That 3.5 years without rain, rain began to fall when Jesus started his ministry. That's the connection. 3.5 years of teaching ministry broke the power of the heavens where there was no rain. Let me leave that. Some other time I'll talk to you about it. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm talking about? Don't play with your teachers. They are the horses God has placed in position to send forth. As you send them forth, rain comes, your seed is coming out. God is not mocked. In other words, God will do justice to every seed you sow. God will do justice to whatever thing you are doing. God will do justice. Don't just benefit from people teaching you how you do nothing about it. No, God is a God of justice. God is not mocked. Whatever thing a man soweth, thou shalt also reap. If we have taught you spiritual things, is it a big issue if we got reincarnate things? No, not at all. Praise the living God.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.